بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue now with Salama رضي الله عنها. Salama, in whose house the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he used to make salah. It was in the house of Salama رضي الله عنها that verses were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which forgave some of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was she who used to act as a scholar in the time of the companions and their students. It was she, subhanAllah, Salama, radiallahu anha, who memorized the entire book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Salama who left us a legacy of struggling and striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, now I want you to focus and listen to this amazing story of our mother, Salama, radiallahu anha. Salama radiallahu anha came from an extremely wealthy family, and her parents were representative of the aristocracy that ruled and divided the people of Mecca. In fact, if we look at the lineage, we find that her father, Abi Umayya, Suhail ibn Maghira, he was, subhanAllah, from the famous personalities of the people of the Quraysh, from the famous tribe of Makhzum. SubhanAllah, her father, he was so popular that the people in Mecca, they gave him the name Zad al-Rakib. Zad al-Rakib means the provisions for the one who's riding. Because her father, Abi Umayya, Suhail ibn Maghira, he used to, subhanAllah, take people with him on trips throughout the Arabian Peninsula. And he would provide for all their provisions. Thus, he was given this name, Zad al-Rakib, by the people of Hijaz. Because he used to bear all their expenses and take care of all their needs on the journeys. Her mother, Atika bint Amr, from the tribe of Kinana, was a very, very rich woman who came from a very, very, very wealthy background. Thus we can say, Salama, radiallahu anha, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth. The ulama, they describe our mother, Salama, as being from one of the most beautiful women of the Quraysh, and also possessing some of the greatest character from the women of her time. Salama radiallahu anha, she was married prior to marrying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was married to the famous companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, Abi Salama, Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad, who subhanallah was from those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who migrated twice, once to Ethiopia and the second time to Medina. Thus, he and his wife were from Ashabul Hijratain. He was her first cousin. And it's interesting to note that her husband, Abu Salama, radiallahu anhu, he was the paternal cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was breastfed by the same woman who breastfed the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, Abu Salama, radiallahu anhu, he was the foster brother of Al-Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Salama, radiallahu anhu, and his wife, one of the important lessons we can take from them is the earnest to do good, and that they were always the first people to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we look at their acceptance of Islam, we can see, subhanAllah, this quality, it's going to start from this point until the death of each one of them, radiyallahu anhuma. According to Ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his famous seerah that Abi Salama radiallahu anhu, he was from the early converts to Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early days of Islam, he presented the religion to a few people, and they accepted the religion on the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of those people was Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, his wife followed him, and here's a very important lesson, brothers, that your wives are going to follow you. I remember, subhanAllah, when I was in high school and the gang culture started to become prevalent in North America. I remember, subhanAllah, for the first week, the brothers, they was dressed like gangsters. And then the next week, who was dressed like gangsters? Was the women. So, subhanAllah, women, they will follow a good man or they will follow a bad man. Here we find, subhanAllah, Salama radiallahu anha, no woman preceded her in accepting Islam except the following: Khadija, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our mother, Ayman al-Habashiyya, and Fadl, the wife of Abbas. Thus, our mother Umm Salama radiyallahu anha was the fourth woman to accept the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama subhanAllah, they described Umm Salama in those days, كانت من أجبر النساء وأشرفهن نسبا. That Umm Salama radiyallahu anha, in those early days in Mecca, she was from the most beautiful of women, and that she came from the most noble family. SubhanAllah, an important lesson we can take from the life of Abu Salama and Umm Salama radiyallahu anhuma is, as a new couple, what is it that is the key to success in a marriage? Unfortunately, nowadays in North America, there was a time where some statistical studies showed us that 50% of new married Muslim couples are getting divorced. And we hear time and time and time again the same question from our new brothers and sisters who are newly married. What is the key to success in our marriage? SubhanAllah, now as we look at the story of Abu Salama and Umm Salama, we're going to find the most important key. And that is to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And this is something that we're going to see reoccurring through the life of Umm Salama and Abu Salama radiyallahu anhuma. SubhanAllah, the ulama said that she was from the most beautiful of women and from the most noble of lineages. SubhanAllah. They were so popular in Mecca. Everybody was, you know, praising them. And now they became Muslim. And SubhanAllah, they are from the tribe of Al-Makhzum. Makhzum is a major, major, major tribe amongst the Quraysh. And many of the people from the tribe of Makhzum accepted Islam, but many of them, the powerful people from that tribe, like the father of Umm Salama radiyallahu anha, they opposed the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But SubhanAllah, Umm Salama and her husband, they were looking for something more than just material success. Nowadays, young brothers and sisters, when you get married, do you base where you're going to move and start your new life on if there's a masjid in the city, if there's an Islamic school for your children, and you say, well, I don't have... The first thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, the middle, and the last is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the call to Islam spread in Mecca, and the disbelievers of Mecca became more and more aware of what was going on, the intense hatred and persecution of the Muslims became greater and greater and greater. And in fact, as we mentioned before, the tribe of Makhzum, they were some of the greatest oppressors of the message of the Prophet ﷺ. So this tribe, when they discovered that Abu Salama and Umm Salama were Muslims, what do you think their reaction was? You think they sent them a Hallmark card and some candies? Do you think it was just like a bed of roses chilling on the Caribbean? Nah, man. They went through it. Abu Salama and Umm Salama, they went through it. So you right now, brother or sister, listen to the CD so that you could be Muslim. You have a relationship with these people that they struggled so that you could be here in North America or Europe or wherever you are as a Muslim or Muslimah. These are the people that sacrificed for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is His sunnah, that when anyone wants to take steps to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be tested. So Abu Salama and Umm Salama, they were tested severely by the people of Mecca. They lost their wealth. They lost their popularity. They lost their fat connections with their boys and their home girls. Life became hard on them. And it became so difficult on the family of Umm Salama radiallahu anha that they had to migrate. SubhanAllah, in the fifth year after the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the test and trials became so difficult, so that you right now, brother, you can be a Muslim. And you, sister, these people were suffering for you, man. The difficulties became so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the companions a breath of fresh air. And what was the breath of fresh air? Migration. Migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 39th chapter of the Quran,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ لهم بغير حساب.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, O my servants who believe and are dutiful to the Lord, for those who do good in this life, there will be excellence in their hereafter. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَ And the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wide and vast. And this verse in the 39th chapter of the Qur'an was a breeze that fell into the souls of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving them permission to migrate to where? To Ethiopia. Thus in the month of Rajab, in the fifth year of the Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 12 men and 4 women left for Ethiopia. Among these people were Uthman bin Affan and his wife Ruqayya bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Salama and Salama joined this first group of immigrants to Ethiopia. Thus, subhanallah, Abu Salama and Salama are teaching us a very important lesson, and teaching young couples a very important lesson. As we mentioned earlier, to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to move to a land where in those days there was no phone, there's no email, there's no way to contact each other, and in a land where nobody speaks your language? Abu Salama and Salama radiallahu anhuma, they didn't care. The most important thing was to protect their iman. So now, brothers and sisters, when you're making these career decisions, when you're making the decision of where to do your graduate studies, put your iman first. Where is the place that's going to protect your iman and cause you to be good Muslims, insha'Allah ta'ala? Salama radiallahu anha, she gave birth to their first child in Ethiopia, and his name was Salama radiallahu anhu. And one can assume, subhanallah, that Abu Salama and Salama were very much involved in the community in Ethiopia. The proof is, we all know the famous story when the Muslims were brought by Najashi to speak and to inform him about their religion. We know this long, long hadith, and for those of us who saw the message so many times, we always love to see the part where Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was explaining the tenets of our faith to this king. But do you know who narrated this hadith to us? This hadith was narrated to us by Salama radiallahu anha. That means that Salama radiallahu anha was there when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib had to speak in front of the king of the Ethiopians. This is a sign that not only did Abu Salama and Salama move to the place where they could, you know, protect their iman, but also they got active in their community. Same with you, young brother and sister. Wherever you go, wherever you start your new life together, make sure that you get involved in the community and that you participate in the, you know, the activities of the Muslim communities in different cities and different areas. SubhanAllah, a short time after they had migrated to Ethiopia and the Quraysh came and tried to have them sent back to Mecca, they were apprised that the Prophet ﷺ had made peace with the people of Mecca. And one of the things that caused him to believe this was the acceptance of Islam of Hamza and Umar radiallahu anhuma. Immediately, Abu Salama and Salama, when they were informed about the situation, they migrated back to Mecca. And upon entering Mecca, what did they discover? They discovered that it was a lie. They had been tricked. In fact, those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who migrated to Ethiopia and then migrated back to Mecca, once they returned to Mecca, many of them, unless they were from affluent families and had fat connections, they faced greater persecution than they did before. SubhanAllah, in these years, living in Mecca, going through oppression, finally, subhanAllah, the opportunity to migrate to Medina presented itself to Abu Salama and his wife Salama. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, he decided to migrate to Medina. And this was a year before the great pledge of Al-Aqaba. Thus he gathered everything together and he prepared his family. And as he was leaving, the tribes members of the family of Salama, they came. And they said to Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, "Where do you think you're going with our woman?" Abu Salama said, "She's my wife." They said, "She's ours. She belongs to us. We are not going to let you migrate with this woman." Then subhanAllah, the family of Abu Salama, when they heard about this, they came. And they said, well, if she's your woman, then that infant boy is our son. And they took Umm Salama's son. Thus, subhanAllah, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was forced to migrate to Medina without his wife nor his new baby son. And Umm Salama radiallahu anha was forced to live in the same city separated from her own son. SubhanAllah, what's a quick lesson we can take here is one day a Muslim counselor was telling us that the reason that most Muslim couples are getting divorced in America, 89% of these divorces are caused by who? Are caused by the in-laws. So subhanAllah, here we see this, that the in-laws of Abu Salama and Umm Salama are creating problems in the family. Nowadays, subhanAllah, we see the same thing amongst the believers. The family of Umm Salama and Abu Salama were disbelievers. So Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she was split from her husband and her infant son. The ulama said that Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she used to go and sit towards the direction of Medina every day and she would be crying, waiting on her husband to come back. SubhanAllah, look at this dedication of this woman to her husband. Radiallahu anha. One day Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she was crying and she was upset and she was waiting on her husband. And Al-Mughira ibn Abdillah Amr ibn Makhzum, he rode by Umm Salama radiallahu anha. And Al-Mughira, he was a non-Muslim. And he saw her, how she was crying. فَقَدْ رَقَ قَلْبُهُ, and his heart became soft. And he went to the families of Abu Salama and Umm Salama. And he said, let her go, man. Why are you guys holding her here? Let her go to her husband. SubhanAllah, immediately Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she was returned with her son. And subhanAllah, she was given permission to go to Medina. Maybe somebody says, how come she was crying? Wasn't her crying for 1 year a sign that she was not pleased with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A'udhu billahi min dhalik. She was crying, brothers and sisters, because of her love for her husband and her love for her son. But alhamdulillah, we know that she was pleased with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we go back to that verse that we recited earlier in Surah Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ends by talking about the people of patience. And one of the qualities that's going to come through the story of Umm Salama, our mother, radiallahu anha, is patience. You know, ask yourself, what is the reward for Hajj Mabrur? What is the reward for a righteous Hajj? It is that you will come out of this Hajj with all of your sins forgiven like the day you were born. What is the reward for someone if they pray in Jama'ah? It's 27 times greater than if they don't. What is the reward for somebody who's fasting and they give food for someone else to break their fast for? It is if they, subhanAllah, you know, they got such a great, great reward. What is the reward for someone who fasts 6 days from the month of Shawwal? It is though they fasted an entire year. But what is the reward for sabr? What is the reward for patience? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, what is the reward for patience? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed the only reward for the people who practice patience is a reward which is unweighable and uncountable. Nobody can fathom the ajr for the people of patience. So we see Umm Salama radiallahu anha exercising the sabr, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought her back to her son, and now she has the opportunity to migrate to Medina. You know, Umm Salama radiallahu anha, as soon as she was given permission to migrate to Medina, she packed a few belongings, and you know what she did? She started walking to Medina. Subhanallah, around 300 miles, she's walking from Mecca to Medina without a donkey, without a camel, without anything except what? Her belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go onto the college campus, don't only take your books with you and your pencils and your pens and your nice book bag. When you go to work, don't only take your nice suit. What you gotta take with you, the most important thing, is your iman in Allah. Here, subhanAllah, we see Umm Salama radiallahu anha. What's going to take her from Mecca to Medina is her iman. Her belief in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So she took her infant son and she started walking to Medina. And as she was walking, a non-believer, he rode by Salama radiallahu anha. And as she was walking to Al-Madina, Uthman bin Talha. Uthman bin Talha, he would accept Islam at the truce of Al-Hudaybiyyah and become one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But at that time, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was not a Muslim. And he saw, subhanAllah, this woman walking on the outskirts of Mecca, and he was amazed because it's something that you didn't see in those days. And he recognized that this was Salama radiallahu anha. And he came to her and he said, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَا بِنْتْ أَبِي أُمَيَّةٍ. Where are you going, O daughter of Abu Umayyah? She said, what, sisters? أُرِيدُ زَوْجِي بِالْمَدِينَ. I want my husband in Medina. SubhanAllah, look at this dedication of this sister to her husband. Nowadays, sometimes sisters, when you sit together, you talk and you make fun of your husbands. Wallahi, this is unacceptable. This is ghiba. Look at the respect that Salama radiallahu anha has for her husband. Uridu zawji bil Madina. I want to be with my husband. I want to be with my husband. Then he said to her, أو ما معك أحد? Is there anyone with you? And she said, لا والله. No, والله, there's no one with me except who? There you are on the campus. There you are at your job. There you are at high school. There you are outside in the world. There you are in the masjid. Who's with you, subhanAllah? What's the believer's response? لا والله إلا الله. There is no one with me except who? Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no one with me except Allah and my son. Then subhanAllah, Uthman, his heart became soft. And he said to her, in this day, nobody will leave you. Meaning that he was offering his service to take Salama radiallahu anha from Mecca to Medina. Salama radiallahu anha, she accepted. And later on, she said about Uthman bin Talha, she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ صَاحِبًا قَطْ كَانَ أَكْرَمُ مِنْ عُثْمَانِ مِنْ طَلْحَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. She said, I never saw a companion more honorable than Uthman bin Talha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Salama رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, when she arrived in Medina, it was a joyous time. Husband and wife and child were reunited. And there, alhamdulillah, in Medina, they experienced a great amount of blessings. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she gave birth to a few more children. Umar radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions were so upset and so hurt that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that they were not obeying him. So he went where? Where did he go for the shura? He went to his wife Salama, the one who he taught. See, when you teach someone or when you give someone advice or when you help someone to grow Islamically, it will always come back to help you. It's like planting a seed. One day it will grow. And he went in his tent and he was upset. And Salama, radiallahu anha, being the good wife that she was, she noticed that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distraught. And she said to him, would you like that your wish will be fulfilled, that these people will obey you? He said, yes. Salama, she gave nasiha to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays, sometimes our sisters, they give nasiha to our brothers, and our brothers get angry. They got this big chip on their shoulder. I already know that, I already know that, I already know that. If you already know it, then do it. We see Salama, radiallahu anha, she told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go out, don't say anything to anyone, remove your ihram, cut your hair, slaughter your animal, and go. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger of Allah, accepted this advice of Salama radiallahu anha, and he did it. The student of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come back to benefit him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at the marriage of our mother Salama with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that she possessed some very interesting qualities which made her a great student of knowledge. The ulama said, subhanAllah, after Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, the greatest narrator of ahadith on behalf of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the women was our mother Salama radiallahu anha. One of the important qualities that Salama had was that she paid fine attention to detail and to the things that happened around her. Aisha radiallahu anha, she relates in an authentic hadith that she heard from Habiba and Salama radiallahu anha about a church in Ethiopia. And in this church were pictures and images. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she told him about this. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, indeed, these are a people who amongst them used to be righteous men. And these men died, and they built their graves, or the graves of these men, and they built on the graves of these righteous men, masjids and pictures. And in these masjids, you'll find the pictures of these people. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that the people who did this are the worst of creation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Salama, she was able to describe this kanisa to Aisha radiallahu anha in great detail. Salama radiallahu anha, she used to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions, and we know that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he created an environment for women which they could study and learn. And Salama radiallahu anha, a hadith which she relates, she says that one day Salim, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. O Messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shy from the truth. And the ulama Ibn Hajr, he explained that there is no affair of this religion which haya should forbid us from asking about. We should not have haya when it comes to the issues of our deen, but we should ask questions in a nice, polite way so that we can learn about our religion. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shy from the truth. And then she began to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam some questions. And Salama, when she heard the answer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she responded and said, "Oh, really, ya Messenger of Allah? Why?" In a very polite way. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained to Salama his answer. Thus, Salama and Salim, as women, they were able to ask questions. Nowadays, it's important in North America, many times we go to conferences or we give durus in the masjid, and the sisters have no way to ask questions. The sisters have no way to be informed about the issues that concern them. In fact, subhanAllah, I was in one masjid and the sisters started sending paper airplanes, you know, FedEx from the sisters on the top row, so that their questions would be received by the sheikh who was, subhanAllah, given the lecture. I said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sisters with the correct adab were able to ask questions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, because of this quality of our mother, Salama radiallahu anha, to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions about our deen, and to observe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find a great wealth of ahadith from our mother radiallahu anha. One of them is the hadith of Kurayb, who says, I came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and I wanted to ask her about the validity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying two rak'ah sunnah after Salatul Asr. Salama radiallahu anha, she responded to him by saying the following: I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid anyone to pray two rak'ah after Salatul Asr. And then one day I saw him praying two rak'ah after Salatul Asr. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded to Salama and said that He was kept busy after Salatul Dhuhr and unable to pray the Sunnah for Salatul Dhuhr. Thus, these two raka'ah that he was praying after Asr were the two raka'ah of Salatul Dhuhr that he was making up later on. Subhanallah. This hadith was given to us by our mother, Salama radiallahu anha. Another area where we benefited an abundance from our mother, Salama radiallahu anha, was the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, one time a man, he came to Salama, Shahru ibn Hawshab, he came to Salama radiallahu anha and he said, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, O Mother of the Believers, Ma kana aktharu du'ai Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make in abundance? And our mother Salama, she said, Kana aktharu du'aihi Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. O turner of the hearts, implant my heart and make my heart firm on your obedience. Another dua which we took from our mother, Salama radiallahu anha, is the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he would leave the home. And Salama radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to leave his house, he would make the following dua. Allahumma a'udhu bika an adilla aw udall aw azilla aw uzal aw adlim aw udlam aw ajhala aw yujhala alay. Aw Allah, I seek refuge in you from being misguided or misguiding others, from straying from the straight path or causing others to slip and stray from the straight path, from being oppressed or being oppressor, from ignorance and being influenced or affected by the people of ignorance. Salama radiallahu anha says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the moment he would make his salam, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, at that moment in Salatul Subh, in Salatul Fajr, he used to make the following dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbalan. There were a number of incidents which happened in her home which are related to the Qur'an. For example, the 33rd chapter of the Qur'an, verse number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the home of Salama. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
Our mother Salama, also she was given the pleasure of giving the good news of forgiveness to some of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Abi Lubaba radiallahu anhu, Abi Lubaba, he made some mistakes with regards to the tribe of Bani Qurayza, which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered him. And subhanAllah, because of these mistakes that he did on purpose out of his fear, he was embargoed by the people of Medina. And the people refused to speak to him, even his wife, even his daughter, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that he forgave him. When these verses were sent, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the home of Salama radiallahu anha. And Salama radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after she saw him smiling, she said, what is it that makes you smile, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Tib ala Abi Lubaba, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven and accepted the repentance of Abi Lubaba radiallahu anhu. Then subhanAllah, Salama, she said, أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Shall I not go give him this good news? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in shit, if you want, if you like, you may do so. And this was before the time that the hijab had been legislated. Thus Salama radiallahu anha, she said from her door to the people that Abi Lubaba has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abi Lubaba, he heard this and he said, I will not believe it until I hear it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And until he heard it from the Prophet, which of course the Prophet readily gave him these wonderful tidings, he was not able to rest in his heart. The second was after the ghazwa of the Battle of Tabuk, when we know the three companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who stayed behind for legitimate reasons, were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there was an embargo put on them as well. And one of those companions was Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the home of Salama, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed,
وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَنْ لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in the home of Salama radiallahu anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in the 9th chapter of the Quran, the 118th verse, the verse which expounds the forgiveness of these three companions. And subhanAllah, at the end of the verse, we find a very beautiful statement of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in, subhanAllah, the house of Salama, when these three verses were sent forgiving these three companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Salama radiallahu anha, when she was told of this by the Prophet Muhammad, again she said, shall I not go give them the good news? Should I not give them the good news of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Salama radiallahu anha, she participated in a number of battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of which were the Ghazwa, or the Battle of Khaybar, and also the victory at Mecca. She was very active there, serving the soldiers and helping the wounded and the sick. Another important quality which our mother Salama possessed was her fasahatuha, was her ability to speak very, very beautifully. And actually, our mother Salama, she wrote a lot of poems, and a lot of beautiful poems have been passed on to us, written by our mother Salama radiallahu anha. One of the beautiful statements of our mother Salama is the statement that she made at the time of the death of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, when Salama said, Rahimakillah wa ghafara lak. When she said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Our mother Salama radiallahu anha, the ulama said that she narrated 387 ahadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the second most prolific narrator after Aisha radiallahu anha. The ulama, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, they said that our mother Salama, she is from the second group of companions in the area of giving fatwa. The second group. This means that Salama has been categorized with such people as Uthman bin Affan and Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. She is the second most prolific narrator from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen in the areas of hadith, narrating 387 hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take the two texts of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, you find that they agreed on 13 hadith related by our mother Salama. Three of those hadith are found in Sahih al-Bukhari, and 10 of those hadith are found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. In the year 58 AH, after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salama became more and more important to the community of the Muslims. Because in that year, that is the year that our mother, Aisha bint Abi Bakr, passed away. And Salama, the ulama said, she was the last Ummahat to die. She was the last wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die. Thus, after the death of our mother Aisha, Salama radiallahu anha became so important. And more people began to flock to her and seek knowledge from her. And if we look at her fatawa, we find that our mother Umm Salama gave fatwa in the following areas. In the areas of salah, she discussed how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray salah. In the area of zakah, she talked about giving zakah to the family members. In the area of janazah, in the area of fasting, the one who woke up and he was in sexual defilement. This was discussed by Umm Salama radiallahu anha. I was reading, subhanAllah, one day a book of Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, and I came across a fatwa about the hijab. And do you know, subhanAllah, who Ibn Taymiyyah he quoted our mother Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She was such a great scholar that she had students from the companions, some of which were Aisha bint Abi Bakr, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, her son Umar, and Anas bin Malik, as well as Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. From the Tabi'een, she taught such great personalities as Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, the Imam of the Tabi'een, Mujahid and Nafi'. And Umm Salama, she placed a lot of emphasis on the teaching of women. And we find that the greatest student from the women who were taught by Umm Salama was who? Was her daughter. Her daughter was her greatest student. SubhanAllah, sisters, what are we teaching our daughters? Are we teaching our daughters to like Shah Rukh Khan? Are we teaching our daughters to like DMX? Are we teaching our daughters to like the haram? Are we teaching our daughters not to pray Fajr? Are we teaching our daughters not to dress correctly? What was Umm Salama radiallahu anha teaching her daughter? She was teaching her the noble statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our mother Umm Salama, she died 65 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a short time after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu under the khilafah of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our mother Umm Salama radiallahu anha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, inshaAllah, from those people who will follow her good example. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Which we took from our mother Umm Salama radiallahu anha is the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would leave the home. And Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to leave his house, he would make the following dua: اللهم أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل أو أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. أو الله, I seek refuge in you from being misguided or misguiding others, from straying from the straight path or causing others to slip and stray from the straight path, from being oppressed or being oppressor, from ignorance and being influenced or affected by the people of ignorance. Umm Salama radiallahu anha says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the moment he would make his salam, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, at that moment in salatul subh, in salatul fajr, he used to make the following dua: Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbalan. There were a number of incidents which happened in her home which are related to the Quran. For example, the 33rd chapter of the Quran, verse number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the home of Umm Salama, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
Our mother Umm Salama, also she was given the pleasure of giving the good news of forgiveness to some of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, Abi Lubaba radiallahu anhu, Abi Lubaba, he made some mistakes with regards to the tribe of Bani Qurayza, which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him. And subhanAllah, because of these mistakes that he did on purpose out of his fear, he was embargoed by the people of Medina. And the people refused to speak to him, even his wife, even his daughter, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that he forgave him. When these verses were sent, The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the home of Salama radiallahu anha. And Salama radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after she saw him smiling, she said, "What is it that makes you smile, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "Tib ala Abi Lubaba," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven and accepted the repentance of Abi Lubaba radiallahu anhu. Then subhanallah, Salama, she said, "Afala ubashiruhu ya Rasulullah? Shall I not go give him this good news?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "In shit, if you want, if you like, you may do so." And this was before the time that the hijab had been legislated. Thus Salama radiallahu anha, she said from her door to the people that Abi Lubaba has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abi Lubaba, he heard this and he said, "I will not believe it until I hear it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself." And until he heard it from the Prophet, which of course the Prophet readily gave him these wonderful tidings, he was not able to rest in his heart. The second was after the ghazwa of the Battle of Tabuk, when we know the three companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who stayed behind for legitimate reasons were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there was an embargo put on them as well. And one of those companions was Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the home of Salama, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed,
وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the home of Salama radiallahu anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in the 9th chapter of the Quran, the 118th verse, the verse which expounds the forgiveness of these three companions. And subhanAllah, at the end of the verse, we find a very beautiful statement of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in, subhanAllah, the house of Salama when these three verses were sent forgiving these three companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Salama radiallahu anha, when she was told of this by the Prophet Muhammad, again she said, "Shall I not go give them the good news? Should I not give them the good news of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Salama radiallahu anha, she participated in a number of battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of which were the ghazwa or the battle of Khaybar, and also the victory at Mecca. She was very active there, serving the soldiers and helping the wounded and the sick. Another important quality which our mother Salama possessed was her fasahatuha, was her ability to speak very, very beautifully. And actually, our mother Salama, she wrote a lot of poems, and a lot of beautiful poems have been passed on to us, written by our mother Salama radiallahu anha. One of the beautiful statements of our mother Salama is the statement that she made at the time of the death of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, when Salama said, "Rahimakith," on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the second most prolific narrator after Aisha radiallahu anha. The ulama, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, they said that our mother Salama, she is from the second group of companions in the area of giving fatwa. The second group. This means that Salama has been categorized with such people as Uthman bin Affan and Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. She is the second most prolific narrator from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen in the areas of the hadith narrating 387 hadith on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you take the two texts of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, you find that they agreed on 13 hadith related by our mother Salama. Three of those hadith are found in Sahih al-Bukhari, and 10 of those hadith are found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. In the year 58 AH, after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salama became more and more important to the community of the Muslims. Because in that year, that is the year that our mother Aisha bint Abi Bakr passed away. And Salama, the ulama said, she was the last Ummahat to die. She was the last wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to die. Thus, after the death of our mother Aisha, Salama radiallahu anha became so important. And more people began to flock to her and seek knowledge from her. And if we look at her fatawa, we find that our mother Salama gave fatwa in the following areas. In the areas of salah, she discussed how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray salah. In the area of zakah, she talked about giving zakah to the family members. In the area of janazah, in the area of fasting, the one who woke up and he was in sexual defilement. This was discussed by Salama radiallahu anha. I was reading, subhanAllah, one day a book of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, and I came across a fatwa about the hijab. And do you know, subhanAllah, who Ibn Taymiyyah quoted? He quoted our mother, Salama radiallahu anha. She was such a great scholar that she had students from the companions, some of which were Aisha bint Abi Bakr, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, her son Umar, and Anas bin Malik, as well as Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. From the Tabi'een, she taught such great personalities as Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, the Imam of the Tabi'een, Mujahid, and Nafi'. And Salama, she placed a lot of emphasis on the teaching of women. And we find that the greatest student from the women who were taught by Salama was who? Was her daughter. Her daughter was her greatest student. SubhanAllah, sisters, what are we teaching our daughters? Are we teaching our daughters to like Shah Rukh Khan? Are we teaching our daughters to like DMX? Are we teaching our daughters to like the haram? Are we teaching our daughters not to pray Fajr? Are we teaching our daughters not to dress correctly? What was Salama radiallahu anha teaching her daughter? She was teaching her the noble statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our mother Salama, she died 65 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a short time after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, under the khilafah of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our mother Salama radiallahu anha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, inshaAllah, from those people who will follow her good example. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُهُ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ رضي الله عنها. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, inshaAllah, from those people who will follow her good example. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُهُ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.